Nothing, just an incident.
That's what you get when you don't leave the space.
I am stupid. I am stupid.
Get in there, Lewis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fan Behavior and F1 Podcast. I'm Zoe. I'm back with Hannah.
Hey.
We asked for change in China.
We did.
And I don't know that we got change in China.
I'm not so sure.
I don't think we did.
I don't think so.
Which is really unfortunate.
Not positive change, at least.
No. I mean, I guess it depends on who you're talking to. And
yeah.
Obviously, there was a lot happening this weekend. So every session, it gave us a different thing.
Maybe we should have been more specific about what kind of change we were looking for.
Totally.
I
think we were pretty specific. I think we went through the pyramid, we said, we hope this person has change in China, change in China, change in China.
True. But it wasn't like a good or bad change. We just said change.
Yeah.
Was on us.
And, you know, as we get into it, there was some change,
yeah.
But then in other ways,
no,
not change. So anyway, I don't know. There's just so much to get into. I don't even really know. I guess the first thing we need to talk about is that Taylor Swift dropped an album.
She did.
That included an Aston Martin reference.
Yeah, which, good for her. And I just love, she always leans into the bit.
Well, but my question is, is it part of the bit? Like,
it's gotta
I don't
be.
Know. So for those who missed it.
Well, you know, she knew that that was being a part of the conversation.
I guess. Well, this is my thing, is I just don't know how, if we're just so in this bubble that like we know it, but did it really permeate past
the bubble? Of all the cars that could have been referenced in said song,
right.
It is. And let's just say, you know, it wasn't on purpose. She also could have changed the lyrics if she didn't want to draw attention to, you know what I mean?
Sure. So in her song, I'm Gonna Get You Back, she said, I'm an Aston Martin that you steered straight into the ditch, which then now people have changed to, I'm an Aston Martin that you drove or steered straight into Daniel Ricciardo. Which is hilarious.
That is hilarious. Ha ha ha. There's also a song where she uses my name, which I thought
she
was
does.
Fun.
I was gonna text you about that. She does say, she actually says quite a few names. In
yeah,
this.
I gasped.
She says her own name too, which was kind of startling in one of the songs she referenced. She says, she's going through kind of like different stars of different periods, and then she says Taylor Swift, the full name, and it was just sort of like,
oh wow, I haven't gotten to that song.
You know yet. Taylor Swift?
You've met her?
But I was gonna, the reason I bring that up was obviously for the lyric, but then also I was gonna get your opinion on the teams. Well, sorry, before I get to that, Aston Martin, did you see the TikTok they posted
with
Fernando to the song?
No, but I'm really glad they did.
Loved leaning into the
Jimmy's bit. Just a smart man.
And Fernando just, he's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
he's
go
down
for
it all.
Yes, exactly. What I was gonna say is all the teams leaning into the Tortured Poets Department
aesthetic.
Do we like that, or do we feel like it's sort of cheap? Not cheap's maybe the wrong word, but
I think it's, well, I think often about who the social media team is.
Yeah.
They're very dialed in. And I think there are, obviously you couldn't pass up the Aston Martin thing. The Lewis Hamilton photo with looking like the album cover, I felt like that was apropos. And then sometimes I think it's done well, and then I think it's like, okay, you clearly just did that to be
everybody else did it
relevant,
because everyone, pretty much every team, put out their own version of their album, of the album with the drivers,
yeah,
like the Alpine. What was Alpine? They like changed the wording.
Yeah, like I think it's funny when it fits and is like relevant to a scenario,
right?
But it's a little, sometimes it's a little overdone when it's like, okay, well, Taylor's album's dropping, so we gotta recreate her album cover.
Gotta act like, you know, we got to do something for the kids or the people that are going
to
be.
But they are paying attention to the crossover that exists in the fan base, and kudos for.
Yeah, totally.
Know.
Totally. I mean, I definitely enjoy it. It's just, I just think it's a little bit funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, do these drivers even really know what's going on?
Maybe, but they never totally know what's going on. You know, they just are supposed to just smile. And
Alpine should have leaned into the Travis of it all, though.
Totally.
Which was a missed opportunity. Maybe, you know, I could definitely see them. What, okay, I'm gonna say this in case it happens. So if Travis goes to Miami, they're definitely gonna post some sort of TikTok video using So High School.
I hope so.
Just watch the space.
God, I really hope Travis Kelce goes to Miami.
I'm almost certain he's gonna be there, but we'll
when I say that is, I hope we see Travis Kelce.
We probably
in Miami.
Won't see him because
No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
We're manifesting.
Okay.
I won't accept that. I will accept after the thing if it doesn't happen, but what I won't accept is preemptively assuming we won't see him.
Because this is where you and I are very different, because I would have to tell myself, I'm not going to see him, and then if I do, what a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, but keep it up here.
Okay.
Don't say it out loud, that's all.
No, I'm just saying you are like the op. You go for, I would rather... You would rather think it's going to happen and then have it not.
Yeah, because then afterwards you're just like, well, I mean, obviously we weren't going to. That's called being delusional.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right. I have to like protect myself.
And as our friend Michaela says, being Delulu is the Salulu.
Yeah. I've been beaten down, beaten down, beaten down, beaten down.
That today's a hard day for you to be optimistic.
Delulu left in me anymore. Yeah.
I don't believe that. Yeah. You can find some.
Well, we'll see. I was also, so I added this prior to the weekend starting, and we can get back into this later, but there was an article that came out about why Lance Stroll is probably going to stay at Aston Martin for 2026. And Mike Crack, his team principal, saying that basically Lance is so valuable because of his, quote, technical feedback. That's why he's going to stay with the team in the future. And listen,
that's a bold thing to put in writing.
Is technical feedback very important? Of course it is. Of course you need a driver who can provide technical feedback. And if you have it, that's why a team with two rookies or two young drivers, it's difficult because they don't really know how to provide feedback. And then Fernando came out and basically said, like, he basically said, I drive through problems. Like, I don't always spot issues because I tend to like drive through issues, which is why Fernando is so great.
Fernando. Yeah.
Whereas Lance is more sensitive to problems, so he can catch things, whatever, which again, like, that's an important skill to have. But my point to Aston Martin would just be like, you can find another driver who has good technical feedback. And also,
I mean, it's just such a canned PR response to, well, his dad owns it.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, but can we just call it like,
right.
I'm sure his technical feedback is great, but that would not be an answer given to any other driver who isn't performing the way you expect
compared
him to perform
to, the rest
to
of
stay
the
on,
teammate.
On the team.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's comical that the question's even answered, if I'm honest.
Well, I guess he has to say something.
Well, of course. They really should just not ask the question because it's disrespectful to anyone who has to answer.
We'll get back to Lance. Don't you worry. There's a lot that I have to say, and I also want to say, too, before we get into the whole weekend, like, I think it's just important. Most of our people that watch our show, listen to our show, respect the fact that we may have different views or opinions or thoughts on drivers than they do. And to you all, I salute you. And I thank you for recognizing that this is a sport. We are allowed to have different opinions. Mm-hmm. We're allowed to root against drivers and not have that seem like we hate them or think that they're terrible people or whatever.
Yeah.
But there are a handful of people that I think get really upset if we say something that is literally our opinion against another driver.
Yeah.
And we've always maintained we are not the news.
No.
We are a biased podcast.
Yeah. Full bias.
Fully biased podcast.
Yeah.
We try to, of course, acknowledge when certain drivers that maybe we're not as, you know, we don't pay attention to as much when they do well, or we try to be as comprehensive as possible. But we would be lying if
we're biased fangirls.
We didn't have drivers or teams that we pay closer attention to than others. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
So,
and it's hard because, you know, when the Patriots were in their dominance and everyone was like, I hate the Patriots. It's a body. It's an organization. It's a team.
Yes.
And it's very hard
here. Or the Chiefs now.
Yeah, because it's like, it's an individual.
Right.
And so I feel like it makes it more personal. And I totally get that. But it's not the human being. It is the thing that's happening that they're a part of. You know, it is.
And again, it's also our opinion. For example, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, I said, I think Yuki could be faster than Checo, and some people were like, how can you say that? But we literally don't know who is faster between Yuki or Checo. So for you to say, how could you say that? Well,
it's because I think it could be true.
I think it could be true, but we actually don't have any proof otherwise because they've never been in the same car. So I just want to urge everyone to just
relax.
It's all fine. And it's if you have serious. A strong opinion about something, you can start your own podcast.
Yeah. And like, we love the opinions, but you don't have to disparage one person's opinion to tell us yours.
It's totally, I have friends, I know people, we have people who do not like Daniel Ricciardo. Mm-hmm. Totally fine.
Can't relate, but whatever.
Totally fine. And I want to say, for those who have different opinions, but also are like, love you guys, I think that's totally great.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally how we are. Great.
100%.
Yeah.
Lance. Lewis. Max.
Yeah.
Charles.
Yeah.
Carlos.
Well, I was having a conversation with a coworker, Alex, if you're listening, about, he was like, so who's your favorite driver? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it's Max. And I immediately knew that he was going to be like, what?
Oh, really?
And he was. And I was like, look, I don't have to justify myself to you.
No, of course not.
Max is a great driver and he's a misunderstood human being. And I will stand by that for the rest of time.
Yes, as you should. And I also think too, like, so much of us as human beings, right? When we meet people in our own lives, oftentimes the way that we feel about them, it's just based off of my personality compared to this other person's personality, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's going to work and you're going to jive and get along. And other times it's just not going to work. But that person can be friends with lots of other people.
Totally.
And I think that's how it is with Formula One. Some personalities you connect with and you feel you jive with, and others you don't. And that's okay.
Totally.
So anyway, excellent. I just want to say that before we get into everything. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about was, did you see how, I think in FP1 and in the quali, the grass caught on fire?
Yes.
Multiple times.
Crazy.
And it was so crazy because it had rained. It had rained like a few days, maybe on Wednesday, it rained pretty heavily. Uh-huh. And then it also rained during the sprint quali. So it wasn't like it was a super hot, dry weekend.
Right.
Where maybe you could understand grass catching on fire.
No.
Crazy.
So weird.
I was like, this is huge black mark. I'm it's good that it didn't happen
during the race,
and it's good it didn't like totally completely catch fire.
But that was just so bizarre to me.
So strange. Okay, let's get to the sprint quali, which was a crazy one. Well, initially it wasn't so crazy. Mm-hmm. Q1, Yuki qualified P19 in the sprint quali and the race quali. And we can get into this when we talk about Daniel, but Daniel like had his number until, well, I guess they both DNF'd, but he was clearly faster than Yuki this weekend, and he had a new chassis, change in China. I suppose that counts for
in
China. And obviously it's still too early to tell whether or not that is like the difference maker and if that's going to continue for the rest of the season. And he even said like, this is a track where Daniel's won before. He's like felt comfortable here before. Mm-hmm. So that might play a part in it. And Yuki's never driven in China before. So, you know, those things factor in, but it was interesting to see just kind of the roles reverse and Yuki just have a really hard time. Joe made it into Q3, which I was really happy for him.
Me too.
Because he didn't get a lot of wins this weekend, but that I felt like was a positive.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay, let's get to Q3 because that's when the rain.
I do really quick because I wrote because I didn't watch practice and I hadn't seen it before, but Alex's helmet was one of the best things I've seen.
Understood. Later.
sorry to spoil that for you.
It's okay. Yes, it was great.
Rosberg all weekend, which we'll talk more, but specifically about the helmet. Crofty asked him if he would wear something like that, and he goes, no, I wouldn't, but I think it's really cool.
Nico was on one.
Iconic.
We'll get to that. Okay, so it kind of starts to rain in Q2, which was a bit of it kind of threw things off because a lot of drivers got their first laps in, but then they couldn't do a second lap because it wasn't going to improve. And whenever that to me is always I either want it to be a dry session or completely
wet
for that whole session. But when it's like, it's going to rain or it's dry, but then it's drying up. Like, I don't know. I just don't love that.
Agreed.
So Q3, it's wet. And they are just slipping and sliding everywhere.
My goodness, it was crazy.
Max is going off and this person's going off. And was it Car? No. Someone spun. I think it was Charles Leclerc spun in.
Yes, Charles into the barrier.
Yeah, into the barrier.
Front wing broken, question mark.
And then it was like someone goes P one, and then they have, they like lose their time, and yeah, then someone goes up and it's
a lot of track limits
back and forth, and yeah, it was just, what's happening here? And you had Lando up, and then Lando loses the time, and then it's Lewis up, and literally I was watching Quali live because it was the night of the Taylor Swift album came out, so I'd stayed up for that, and yeah, then I was just like, well, let's just keep the party rolling.
Man, your sleep's really been messed with.
Been messed up.
Challenged.
Yes. It's been really challenged. Stay strong. Well, thankfully, we're on the
tail end.
We're now that we're done with all the overnight races, mm-hmm, I think we're back. We're going to be okay.
Back in business.
And it was, I mean, I was about to post Lewis pole position, and then Lando's time gets reinstated. I was like, I mean, I was still happy about
yeah,
it, but it was
crazy,
just,
though.
It was just like such an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about it from your perspective?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I've never seen a lap being reinstated before, I don't think. So that was interesting. I'm glad that happened.
Yeah. So just for those who maybe are interested as to why. So typically, if you have track limits, if you're coming around for your lap and on the final corner, you have track limits, then not only is that lap deleted, but then your next lap, mm-hmm, is also supposed to be taken away because they claim that you could have had, like, it would have helped you carry more speed to start your next lap. Now, because of the conditions and the rain, and because there's gravel on that, it didn't, I guess the stewards decided that it actually didn't benefit him to yeah, have that issue. So they said, eh,
you get it back.
Now, clearly they're just a little willy-nilly with what they
certainly have been,
choose to punish and take away and yeah, not punish and whatever. But so that's why he got to keep his
yeah,
keep his time. And I think Max as well, he had lost one for the same reason, and then they added that back in for him.
Gotcha. And then I will say, Crofty, I took a lot of quotes down this weekend because they were really just bantering very well. But Crofty said, like, I'll take a sprint or a quali like that over a second practice any day of, you know, any race weekend, whatever. And I agree. I know that the sprint is controversial, but it does, like, and well, the conditions made it really fun, but that was like a lot more fun to watch than.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yes, we've said this before. The conditions play a massive part, mm-hmm, and we'll obviously get to the sprint, but as to whether or not, and this is why I don't like, it's the whole, you're judging something based off the outcome, mm-hmm, rather than like what it actually is. And so you're like, well, that's, you know, sprints are awesome because if it rains,
it's so fun.
It's like,
yeah,
well, okay, is it good if it's just the standard version of totally, what it is? And I mean, I think a quali is always, I've said this before, I think quali is always interesting. I would rather watch a quali even if it's dry or, you know, just a normal situation over a practice. Mm-hmm. The sprint, though, is where, I mean, I would also rather watch a sprint than a practice,
yeah,
but I think it's more about, is it worth it for like the drivers and the teams and
totally,
whatever. And I was going to ask you too, how do you feel about the new order?
I liked it.
I did too.
Yeah.
I liked that it felt more, it like, okay, so we have, it felt more like you're easing into the weekend.
Totally.
And also I feel like for the drivers to be able to do the sprint quali and the sprint before you had the actual quali, mm-hmm, you kind of got to maybe try some things out.
Yeah. Get more in a rhythm.
So they also decided, so typically in a typical sprint weekend, or I guess last year, the sprint weekend, you'd have FP1, you'd have race qualifying, and then on Saturday, you would have sprint quali and the sprint. And typically, after qualifying on Friday, that's when the car goes into park for May, and you couldn't change the car from that point forward. Well, now that's changed, so you can change the car after the sprint, mm-hmm, for qualifying, which I think is also nice because,
agreed,
if something didn't work in the sprint, you can make the adjustment for the qualifying in the race. You're not like stuck in something.
Yeah.
Because that happened to a lot of drivers where they would like try something for the sprint, and then it didn't work, and then they were screwed then again for the race. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay, the sprint.
Yes.
Lewis and Lando at the start.
Yes.
Crazy.
Very crazy.
Lando just, I have to give him a lot of, I mean, I think he's a very, level-headed person. He's not somebody who, I think he sees it, or he says it like
it is.
He's mm-hmm, not someone who, I don't feel, gets super emotional about moves or decisions or anything, mm-hmm, like that. And he, after the race and everything, after the sprint race, never was like, Lewis pushed me off, or totally. Lewis did something, and he was like that. He had the right to do that, which I respected that he wasn't, because he lost a lot
about
of
it. Yeah,
places.
That sucked.
I think went down to like seventh or yeah. something with that. That was
a bummer.
Yeah, but I appreciate that he was just, I think, took accountability for his own mistake.
Yeah.
And then we had Lewis in the lead for a little bit.
We did. And Nico had so much nice things to say.
So nice.
You're so complimentary.
I was living for that. I mean, Nico is the king, though, of he says the compliment and then he stabs you right in the back. You
100%.
Know, he's always sort of saying, he says the nice thing and then the insult comes. Yeah. You know,
you're just kind of waiting.
Yeah. He's just such a shitster, and I love it. And I know a lot of people. He's a very obviously controversial figure. There's people who love him, there's people who hate him, people who don't like his commentary. I
loved it.
Thoroughly enjoyed. Now, I was going to say, I don't think I would want him to replace Martin full time.
No.
I think I ultimately prefer Crofty and
yeah,
Martin.
But it was a fun change in China.
It's a fun change in China.
Yeah.
And I mean, basically, this is more so in the race, but like every time Crofty would say something, Nico would like
no.
shoot it down. Yeah, he was so antagonistic. Like,
yeah. Well, there was one point that I think Crofty was like asking him, this was during the race, but I think he was like asking him a question. And Nico goes, I totally disagree. And Crofty's like, that's why I was asking you. Literally, he was like, "That it was a question. I wasn't making a statement.
Question? We haven't gotten that this year, which
no,
I'm
not
kind of
yet.
Bummed about.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, we did hear. I don't think it was the same, but they said during the race, like, we're thinking Plan D.
I know. I was
Delta.
Like, oh, good. They're bringing the alphabet back. I did also during the sprint. They mentioned that it's been 50 GPs since Lewis has won, which is
49
wild.
GPs that I've watched, because I think his obviously Abu Dhabi was the one before I started to watch.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, so Lewis had that lead. And I should say, to Max, it seemed like he was having a bit of an issue with his yeah. battery or something. So it's like, oh, maybe, you know. And I think, was Fernando behind Lewis? I'm pretty sure he was. I think it was Lewis, Fernando. I was like, ooh, this is interesting. Lewis mm-hmm. and Fernando, how's that going to go down?
Yeah, always a good time.
Well, Max just goes by Fernando, goes by yeah, Lewis.
By some miracle, they figured out the engine problem.
Hasta la vista, you know?
He went into, I think GP said to go into like mode 8 or something, and that seemed to really fix everything. So cool.
Love mode 8. Then the battle between Fernando, Checo, mm-hmm. Charles, Carlos, I mean, that was, we had a bit of a through goes Hamilton with Mr. Chenko.
We did. Chenko. I love that your dad's calling him that now too. We did have a bit of a through goes Hamilton.
Through goes Chenko.
Yeah. We can only hope that that makes its way into the broadcast at some point. Even when we're hosting.
It doesn't quite hit the same. But
no, it certainly doesn't.
Hilarious.
No.
That was just kind of, that was, I mean, it's very rare for, what was it, four cars, five cars, I don't even remember, all battling for like, you know, however many positions that was. It was just, that was a fun thing. And then Fernando obviously has his puncture.
Yeah, that was too bad.
DNFs, got a penalty as well. I think for pushing Carlos off the track or something like that. Which it didn't really make sense to me, because he DNF'd, but he got a penalty, 10-second penalty. And typically, if you get a penalty and you DNF, it's applied, you then get a penalty for the next race because you couldn't serve it during the race. But
maybe
because
it was a sprint,
maybe so.
Who knows?
Anyway. Okay, so then we had a little Ferrari on Ferrari
crime.
Now,
like mob stuff going on. Italian mafia. Just kidding.
if
you're listening, it was just a joke.
it's just funny because, you know, the team's Italian.
Well, I know.
No, I know. So listen, I said on Instagram that I had some thoughts that I was scared to share them. And I know I have been...
Live in your fear. Lean into it.
Hard on Carlos, okay? I recognize that I am, again...
Biased podcast.
Biased to Charlotte Claire. Hannah's the Carlos correspondent. So, you know, if she wants to speak up on behalf of Carlos, it's in her power to do so.
He's better.
but my feeling is this. Because a lot of people are saying Carlos is in his reputation era. He's like, you know, fuck this team. I'm going to go for it. I totally respect that about
yeah.
what he's doing. Of course, if you're, and also I do have to say, people keep saying that he got fired. He didn't get fired. He just didn't have his contract yeah. renewed, but he wasn't fired.
No. And I understand the comparison.
He's told not to come back anymore, yeah. but it wasn't, you know.
He's without job.
Yeah. He's without job. But, so I totally understand him wanting to prove himself, wanting to prove to Ferrari that they made a mistake, wanting him to prove himself to other teams. I get that. I would do the same thing if I was in his position. And a lot of people after the Charles Carlos thing were saying, like, Carlos is, from Carlos's perspective, he's thinking, well, what are they going to do? Fire me?
Yeah.
I get that. But it's at the expense of somebody else who's not to blame for
sure.
this decision. So you can be upset and you can be take charge and everything in the race, but you don't have to like ruin the race of your teammate at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Personally.
No, I mean, I get that, but also if he was driving that way against any other driver, it wouldn't be the same. Like, I don't know. I feel conflicted about it because it's always this thing of like, you guys are teammates, but because you're teammates, it's your biggest competition. And yeah. I think it's a tricky situation because he's just doing his job in a lot of ways. And he's taking risks maybe that he shouldn't be taking, or, you know, maybe a little, trying to prove something too much.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It is what it, I mean. My point is, he should have gotten a penalty for what he did to
Nico thinks so too.
And
I'm actually really surprised he didn't get
and
a penalty.
He didn't because it was his teammate. You
but
know?
That's dumb to me.
Teams don't if because unless the FIA decides to do it. But you know, typically a team will lodge a request for a penalty, but they're not going to do it when it's their because it's
sure.
It's their team. So if it's not in their best interest to do so. And I guess my point is, if it was another driver from a different team, he would have been penalized for, or I think he should have been penalized mm-hmm. for it, but he wasn't. And just the whole war thing between Charles and Carlos, just in general, like between the fandoms, I just think it's not Charles Leclerc's fault.
No, it's not.
Carlos doesn't have, I mean, I guess technically it is his fault because he, over the course of their time as teammates, mm-hmm. was the better driver. And I don't think that's a controversial thing to say.
No.
I'm not speaking about this current season. I'm just speaking about the past seasons that they had together. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could say it's his fault, but he didn't make the decision to.
No, of course. But it does also seem, at least from the limited amount of social media that is being shown about it, it seems like it's limited to the track.
Yes. Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
Because I would hate for this to like cause them to have a riff.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I think it's fine. I just think,
Is Carlos going like directly against orders? Because also, it feels a little bit on the team to.
I don't think he's going against orders.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going. I just think I totally understand his feeling about having like a chip on his shoulder, wanting to prove himself, mm-hmm. wanting to get the best seat. Again, I would do the same thing if I was in his position. I totally understand that, but. I also it's kind of reminding me slightly of when, and this might be a bad comparison, but when George was in the Williams and he was fighting for the Merc spot mm-hmm. and he like wanted it so badly.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he crashed into Valtteri? Like he was doing
taking
a little too
unnecessary
much,
risks. Yeah,
yeah, to prove that he deserved it, and it was at the expense of somebody else.
Yeah,
and that's just what I have a problem
with,
but. Carlos, obviously, he's having a great season. I mean, Charles finished ahead of him in the race today. So I guess Charles had a bit of a better weekend than him. But, you know, comprehensively this season, Carlos has been a lot better.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking anything away from him. I just thought it was a little tough.
Yeah.
So to speak. But anyway, okay. Moving on to qualifying.
Oh, really quick, though. I was excited that the post-race interview, that Jessica did
Yes.
That was cool. Jessica
Actually,
Hawkins.
I do have another
that was fun.
Thought about the sprint. And we can get into they're going to potentially revise the points for the race, but we need to revise it for the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that only 8 positions get...
It makes no sense.
It's ridiculous. Like, there were... Well, first, and part of the problem too with that sprint is like basically from... whoever was in P10. Basically, there was like a extremely long train of like Deer. It was like Valtteri, Daniel, K-Matt. It was like, and nobody could pass anybody because they were just stuck in this DRS train for like 12 laps.
Yeah.
And then I think finally Daniel passed Valtteri and it kind of broke up a little bit. But that's a problem with a sprint because it's so short and you don't have any pit stops. You could get a situation where not a lot happens.
Yeah.
And then only 8 positions getting points. For a lot of these teams, they're never going to get sprint points unless something truly crazy happens.
Yeah, agreed.
Or it's a wet sprint or something like that. But I think the first order, I would think, is to change, at least do 10 points for the sprint.
Sure.
At the very least. But even do more. Test out this new points system on the sprint first. Lower stakes. You can make them lower points or lesser points. Or do 12 points for P1, 1 point for P12 or something like that.
Yeah.
I just think we need to give a little bit more because, again, for a lot of those drivers, they were just basically doing another practice session to prepare to see how the tire was going to work for the race.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Okay. Qualifying.
Yes.
Logan had another spin.
He did.
And I don't know what to say anymore. Do you have any thoughts?
Mm-mm.
Oops.
And I feel for him. I really do.
I know. I feel
because every time, you can see his face. You can hear his like, oh, not again.
I know. And I typically don't have sympathy like this for drivers who continuously.
I know.
Maybe I kind of did for Nicholas Latifi a little bit, but I was
But he was also causing a lot of problems for other people. I think that's the thing is Logan's pretty much self-inflicting his own wounds to himself.
Actually, I was saying this to my dad. Yes, I feel the same way. Logan doesn't really cause. Yes, it's more self-inflicted wounds for him.
Which is sad.
Lewis out in Q1. Shocked. And for him to go P2 in the sprint and then out in Q1.
I mean, talk about a roller coaster.
A roller coaster.
Toto's face. Should just.
And that's when Nico had some fun. I don't know. I could see him kind of. I have to respect that he's willing to dish out the love, but he's also, oh man, that must be so
darn
painful.
It's so patronizing.
Lewis. So painful.
Yeah.
P18. Oh.
Yeah. I did during that like moment, I wrote, is it bad that I like Nico's commentary? Because I'm just laughing.
No, it's funny.
It's funny. Because it's almost like he's talking the way we all talk when we're watching it and not as, the broadcasting team.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just like. And even his like post-race interview, which I don't remember having and I'm sure it has happened before, but it was interesting that they brought Lewis's like the sound of his interview into the qualifying session. Mm. I don't remember like ever having that before, although again, I'm sure it has. But he was just like, 18's pretty bad. I was like, yeah. And he was in such good spirits the day before when he was in P2. And he was just like, the most I'd seen him really smile in a while, just being like, in that moment, actually, I was thinking too, he reminds me of like the Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, who makes sure to know how to correctly pronounce a few really key phrases that makes the crowd go wild.
Star.
I know. But it's
a differing factor between, that's like, Lewis is always, whenever he's interviewed, he's always acknowledging the crowd, thank you, and that's really the making of the star.
Totally,
is the acknowledgement of everybody. Yeah, there.
As minor as it is, like saying hi in the language,
it does make a difference.
The crowd was roaring;
they were like so happy.
Yeah,
big fans. As he said, LH44 is. I think he said we're strong here in China or something.
Yeah,
to that effect.
He did. He likes the I think it was almost like he said the members of LH44 China. And I was like, is there a membership? I don't know. That wasn't exactly the way he said
that wasn't
it. It did make it sound like there was a fan, like a club that they paid dues for or something. I was like, oh, I didn't know. Is there one in America?
Of course.
Well,
Yuki again out in Q1, P19 again. I was kind of shocked by his lack of performance.
And then Pierre got through to Q2 for the first time.
I was gonna say we talked about this last week or maybe it was the 2 weeks before, how Instagram, I like love Instagram post a session because it's always used as a explainer of of why someone had an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always just kind of used as like more context.
Yeah.
And in Pierre's post qualifying, he was like, I can just pull it up. It kind of made me laugh because it was just kind of what we had talked about previously. Let's see if I can find it. Why can't I find it? Did he delete it?
Maybe.
Okay, well, it was something to the effect, or it could have been on his Instagram stories. Something to the effect, oh yeah. Let me know here. Okay. Despite not having the upgrade this week, Q2. So like he wanted everyone to know,
He did it without the upgrade.
I didn't have the upgrade. Esteban had the upgrade. You know, just those types of things were just kind of funny to me. Because it's like, just
soak it up.
Don't have the upgrade. I still did that.
Yeah.
So, you know, acknowledge that. Did you notice that Checo almost got out in Q1? I was a little like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that was wild.
I don't know who was the other. I think it was Joe, actually. Joe was the next one in line. That would have been kind of interesting if that happened. Bottas did really well.
He did.
He got into Q3 again. So did Nico.
And then just sat there.
Yeah.
Which I understand.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a funny choice.
Yeah. He was like, that was as good as it's going to get for me. And then after Checo obviously almost didn't get out of Q1, he did get P2. So he keeps putting in good performances, which I think he's more and more likely to keep his race seat. Anything else from qualifying?
Well, I was impressed after Carlos's incident that he was able to get back out. That was good.
I mean, he was very fortunate to not have damaged the car.
Agreed.
Because that could have been bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also at one point, sorry, I'm like really on my quotes today, but Nico was just really on one. At one point, they were talking about tire temperatures, I think.
Okay.
And he referred to them as he wants them to be pasta al dente. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay.
He is something else.
Truly.
And I also have to say, too, with Nico, he did it in, I think... No, there's so many different sessions that it's hard to keep track. But a couple times over the course of the weekend, he did make a point to praise Daniel.
He did. Actually, I wrote it down. He said, can we please praise Daniel for a second? Yes. Of course we can.
And I just have to say,
Thank you, member of Rick Nation.
Yeah. Nico Rosberg. Thank you for doing that.
Max got his 100th pole position.
Snaps for Max.
And
I know we always just like it's
but the end
so
of Q3 was also wild. It was just like it kept changing and it was stressing me out.
Unfortunately Max's accomplishments just get sort of tossed out because it's not interesting for us to sit here and be like, and Max got pole, let's break that whole down. It's another day of the
office. It's just one of these.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Like no one's surprised. Congrats.
Yeah.
And even Nico, I think at one point was like, I know it's not that interesting for the action, but it's a historical moment.
Of course,
and I was
100%.
Like, yes, but that's the perfect way to explain it. It's like, yes, no, I don't think anyone's like not paying attention to the historic nature of it, but it's also like, well, of course he got his 100th pole today. Like
we've all gotten so accustomed to it that nothing is really, it doesn't affect us the same way as it would somebody else. Because
I mean, even my family, like today I came upstairs and they were like, how's the race? I was like, oh, it was good. My dad was like, Max win. I was like, well, yeah, it's a Sunday. So of course he did.
Except for that one lucky one.
That was crazy.
Okay, let's get to the race. Let's see anything else. Okay.
Nope.
So Fernando had a good start.
He did.
Popped himself up into P2.
For a second, I thought he was going to pass Max.
No, I was like, come on, Fernando.
Would have been fun. It wouldn't have lasted long, but it would have been fun.
Lando also had a really good start.
Mm-hmm.
I also commented, it wouldn't be F1 without Lewis complaining about his tires.
Immediately.
Which...
That was the worst tire, man.
Man. I always love his use of man.
I know.
He throws it in there. And you know, at least... I mean, I asked my dad this. Would you prefer someone like Lewis on the radio who's just kind of complaining, but not like, come on, like, what's going on?
Totally.
Or just sort of...
Commenting on it. I also wonder, too, like... I know there's so much comms going on.
Yes.
And so I always am like, is the team, like the production team, just picking yes. all the ones that he's talking about tires?
Oh, well,
and not when other people are talking about tires?
Sure.
Because, you know, sometimes I'm like, I remember that it is a TV production and yes. I'm like, okay, so you're telling a story. But yes, the story you tell consistently is that Lewis is always whining about his tires.
Yeah, exactly. But I was going to say, George, do you prefer that, or do you prefer a Yuki sort of flying off the handle?
For entertainment, I prefer the occasional Yuki.
But if you were the engineer.
Lewis.
Okay.
Because it is a bit of an eye roll, but he's
calm.
He's frustrated, but he's relaying yeah. information.
He's really just venting.
Totally.
And I think a lot of drivers
do that. And he feels safe with Bono.
For now, until it changes.
Can Bono not go with him?
I don't know if he can.
Because I guess he's a Mercedes employee.
But he, right. But he, I don't believe, is. Mm-hmm. He's getting, I think, a new engineer next year.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know if he's going to get Carlos's or what. Oh my gosh. Okay. The Alpine mechanic that got kind of.
That was awful.
I couldn't really fully see what happened. I mean, he was on the side of the car, right?
Yeah. So
and he kind of got knocked. Or
yeah.
Something?
So when the back right tire wasn't fully on, so when Pierre started to go, it popped off and
got
hit him
it.
In the chest.
Okay. I couldn't quite see like why he fell over because yeah. it was sort of, yeah, it happened so fast.
Yeah.
Did appreciate that
he checked
Pierre
in.
Checked.
Yeah.
That was great. I was joking.
I would have been really shitty if he didn't.
I was joking though. Like, what if it was like, you know, he's like, he's actually broken his leg.
Totally.
He's going to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, they probably would have lied to him.
Yeah.
I don't.
You broke a couple ribs, but it's fine. It's also hard because it's like, even though it was Pierre's move that popped the tire off, it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't his fault.
It might have been the guy who got hit.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know what role he plays like in the crew, but it
well,
could have been
actually,
his.
No, it wouldn't have been his fault. It would have been probably the.
It would have been someone else.
Drill.
He was further up ahead. Yeah.
That goes on.
But it was,
let's
yeah.
find that person. Let's take him out back.
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right. He's definitely going to have a bruise.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
On his chest.
Yeah. Full tire spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to share before we get into Lance and Daniel?
I don't. I'm just going through. I did get nervous about the alphabet soup plans coming back from Ferrari.
But at least they were on D. Like,
yeah.
you know, D's okay.
It feels early.
When they're getting down to whatever they, I can't remember. There was that one. I mean, this was the Mattia years.
Yeah.
When they were down into the Z's, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that wasn't good. I was surprised that Danny didn't pit during the safety car. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Okay. And then lots of penalties at the end, which was fine. Crofty at one point said RB stands for really bad today. Oh, and he said to Daniel, if he wasn't having bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. I think that's it. We
can
talk
about some other things we can talk about afterwards. But
yeah,
this
yeah.
is I'm trying to go in
chronological order.
I guess we could first talk about, so there was, so Valtteri has an engine issue or whatever. Stops on the side of the road.
He was very unhappy.
Yeah. Takes some time to actually pull out the safety car. Daniel had pitted a few laps before. He got severely undercut too by Yuki and other people. Like, they pitted him at kind of the wrong time to begin with. But then he was making good, like he was working his way through the crowd, through the
it's fine.
People, whoever they are. And
through the grandstands.
But when they pitted him, he started out on mediums and then they pitted him for them again. Mm-hmm. So it was like, that's always a risk because
yeah,
you have to pit again because you
right.
have to change your tire compound. And so it seemed like, well, if there's a safety car, this is kind of the best time to do it because you're going to have to pit anyway
yeah.
because you're going to have to change your compound. So you might as well do it now when you're going to save some time. Mm-hmm. I just didn't fully understand. And he was in P9 at that point. And I was like, okay, he did have pace. He did seem to be pretty fast. But would he have been able to keep his points if
yeah.
he had a pitted, you know?
Yeah, it's,
it just seemed strange. That already was a strange call to begin with. If they had pitted him, this wouldn't have happened. Chinese farmer.
Amen.
but so it was weird, though, because it's the safety car. I don't know if that it was about to come in or they're about to restart. And it starts and they immediately, or I was looking at the timetable and Stroll like immediately drops to pit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what happened there? You know,
yeah.
that was kind of strange. And then we see Yuki get hit by K-Mag, which that was just like, what's going on
aggressive.
There? K-Mag, you know, he's a little...
He and Carlos are driving a little bit the wild. Same. Yeah, he's out wild. For blood,
and
I guess.
Specifically, Yuki. Like, there's been multiple instances over the season where, like...
Yeah.
They have some...
We're getting into a suck my balls mate situation, I think, with the two of them. And it's and interesting. Like, I don't know if K-Mac's just, like, fighting for his life, thinking he's losing his seat, and that's fine. But, like, you're becoming... A risk.
It's also a safety car restart. You don't need to be so aggressive at this. I mean, I understand you can be aggressive, but like, it was very unnecessary.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. I mean, I was worried when we had that.
Yeah,
it was Yuki. I thought, oh shit, he's gonna be. But he was pissed, but not at K-Mac.
Or
that we heard. He didn't say like, fuck this guy. Yeah. You know.
he just goes, I'm out.
He says, fuck, I'm out. And you're just driving across the grass.
And just bop around. At least it didn't catch on fire.
Yeah. I think part of me wonders, because he was kind of, I mean, he just had not a great weekend as a whole. And part of me wonders if he was just like,
perfect.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm ready for a rest. He's probably hungry.
But then we see the replay. They didn't show it live, or at least from what I could tell, the replay of Lance just going straight into Daniel's ass.
Yeah. Claiming to have been brake checked.
Which was, first of all. Okay.
Wildly inaccurate.
It's a safety car restart. So they're all bunched up. He's like, a brake test, first of all, of course you're braking because you're going into a hairpin turn. Like, it's a sharp turn. There's multiple cars in front of you and Daniel.
You're quite literally in bumper to bumper traffic.
And everybody is braking, and he's just, and I was like, what the hell is he doing? And they're not moving fast. It's a restart. Like, it's not,
yeah,
you should be able to avoid catastrophic action in that type of situation.
Daniel was braking quite literally so that he didn't hit the car in front of
and
him.
You know who the car in front Oscar. Of him was? Poor Oscar. I mean,
accidental Australian, actually, Australian crime.
I mean, and we've had too much Australian on Australian crime, because we all know how Daniel broke his wrist was avoiding action of Oscar. And actually, Oscar had a very funny quote. I'm going to see if I can find
God,
it.
God, I love him so much.
Defending his fellow Aussie, which I appreciated. I'll see if I can find it. But I felt bad for Oscar as well, because again, he's just, what's the word I'm looking for? When someone's like, additional damage.
Oh, collateral damage.
Collateral damage. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Lance said that he crashed because drivers ahead suddenly braked. And then Piastri's response, yes, but everyone else didn't crash into each other.
Suddenly braked.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
So, okay. So then we had Lance on the radio just saying,
he brake tested me.
What an idiot. Whatever. And at that point, I'm like, excuse me? I was about to fly to China.
And I was annoyed at first when he said it, but that was even before I saw how close Daniel was to Oscar and how he hit the brakes, because quite literally, like, that's how driving works. He had to.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, Lance, maybe he'll change his tune when he sees what actually happened. But did he?
No. So so then, you know, Dan, and okay, we said this before about Daniel and about also Oscar, they are not of the drivers that you would think of who like have a temper or who are not afraid to kind of go in and say stuff. When I think of that, I think of, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. This is just kind of how it is. I think Max is not afraid to say stuff. Yuki, Pierre.
Yeah.
Who else?
I feel like Fernando probably.
Fernando.
Ocon can be that way sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of drivers who aren't afraid to throw things out and say shit and whatever. Daniel is low on the list of drivers who go at people.
Yeah.
He is
very level-headed.
He's very level-headed. He's very PR-ified in that way. Like, he doesn't have...
He also,
I feel like, acknowledges that things happen and can move on from things pretty fast. I don't think he takes a lot of, like, things personally or not, like when Pierre went up to Carlos, you know, when he had that, when he said that thing to Carlos.
That was funny.
that was funny. But no, today, not the case. Not the case.
Well, he had started to calm down.
He started to calm down. So there's multiple quotes, and I guess we can kind of go through all of them. He gets into the media pen and he, Well, he first said that he watched Lance's onboard. And it is true. He said that he could tell Lance looks at the corner mm-hmm. and not at the car in front of him. And I think Daniel said it was kind of patronizing, but he was like, literally all you have to do is look at the car in front of you. Like in this type of situation, like
that's the job,
the issue. Cause you can't overtake in these situations either. So you're not,
there's no need to assess the field over here.
Exactly.
You need to assess the car that's 1 inch in front of you.
Exactly.
With its brakes on.
Yeah. So he was kind of
rules of the road, babe.
Yeah, so he was kind of that. But then the biggest issue is the fact that Lance is just not taking any sort of accountability.
Lance hasn't watched the replay, I imagine.
His actions. And I feel like, you know, again, they're all drivers. They understand these things happen. Mistakes happen. They've all made mistakes. They've all done things that are stupid. Whatever. I feel like Daniel's the kind of person who, if Lance had said, dude, I am so sorry. Like, that's totally my bad.
Over.
It's unfortunate. It sucks that it happened, but you can move on from it.
Yeah.
But
that's not the route he took.
I think it's the lack of accountability that really pissed him off. Mm-hmm. So
Daniel's also the first one, and he might not do it immediately, but I feel like he's really good about taking responsibility and apologizing when something like that happens. So yes. It's annoying to not receive the same treatment.
And as we've said too, it's hard to judge, or it's not always fair to judge a driver from what they say in the heat of the moment in the race, because they don't know what else is around them. You know, I think there was that instance, was it George and Lewis last year where they crashed into each other and mm-hmm. Lewis was like, my teammate ran into me. And
then because that was his perspective.
And he realized that
there's nothing to do.
And then he was, you know, apologized for that or whatever. So of course I understand that. But when you rewatch it and you can see it for yourself and you can see what's happening, mm-hmm. you then should have the ability to go back. So, okay. So this is one of the quotes Daniel said. Actually I'm going to pull up the full thing so that, we can get into this. Okay. Maybe in an hour when he sees it, he might take some accountability, but if he doesn't, I can't help him, nor can anyone here. It's so frustrating. Obviously racing incidents happen, but behind a safety car, that should never happen. What made my blood boil is I watch his onboard just to see from his perspective. And as soon as we start braking, you can see his helmet turn. He's not even watching me. I don't know what he's doing, where his head is, but all he has to do is worry about me in that situation. And he clearly wasn't. Let's see what he says in the media, but if he comes after me, then I'll say more. I started to calm down, and then I was told what Lance thinks of the incident. Apparently I'm an idiot and it was my fault that made my blood boil, blah 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 blah. I'm doing my best not to say what I want to say, but fuck that guy, and I'm being nice too if that's what he thinks. And then they said Stroll clarified afterwards that his idiot's comment were not aimed at Ricardo specifically.
Who was it aimed at?
And then he said, I don't think it was him. Everyone just slammed on the brakes and he was the guy in front of me. I got a penalty because of the end result that I hit Ricardo, but it's not like everything was normal and I just slammed into the back of him.
It was, actually. That's exactly what happened. Respectfully, that's exactly... It was normal. It was a normal situation. You weren't paying attention. Now you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's just such the classic, you messed up.
Yeah.
You're embarrassed. And so you're choosing to blame everybody else. Now, when... I do have a question. Because when Lance... Because I think he called him an idiot during the race. Yeah. But he called him an idiot again.
No.
After. No. All that commentary is from the race.
That's okay. Prior.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they actually got to there's a video of Daniel being told this told that Lance said that he was an idiot or that it was his fault on camera.
He saw red.
And Daniel was like, and I could see there was parts of him where he was like,
shut up.
No, like, you know, like when you're like so mad that like, you're just like, you kind of can't, you kind of have that face where you're like, I just kind of can't quite believe
what is he for real?
What I'm hearing. And he kind of kept having that sort of like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like he was going to go.
He like was going into overdrive, but he's such a calm person that it's like he was silently going into overdrive. And I think trying to
and
bite
he
his tongue.
And he kept saying like, that pisses me off. Like that pisses me off. And I felt like he was about to go punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And listen, again, mistakes happen, but
own
great.
Them.
And then I think Lance was really pissed about getting this 10-second time penalty. And I'm just like,
guess who else is really pissed that you made them stop their race?
And yeah, the race is over. And to be fair, he ruined two people's races.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he didn't just ruin. I mean, Piastri finished the race and he got points, but he
hit a lot of damage.
And he couldn't really do much past that point. And that sucks. Then the other issue is, and I'm going to get back to Lance more, but I'm just going to really pile on him today. But then even worse. So Nico, when that happened, Lance is behind Daniel. Nico's behind Lance. Lance runs into Daniel, and then Nico passes Daniel. Mm-hmm. Which you're apparently not supposed to obviously pass somebody on a restart. They then have the other yellow flag, or the other safety car comes out because Yuki had his problem. Mm-hmm. So they do a whole other one again. And at that point, Daniel is like, well, I'm going to take back this spot from Nico because that was my spot and he should have done it. Well, according to the rules, they got sent to the stewards after the race. And technically, because Daniel got hit and had like a obvious problem, I guess was like the wording, Nico was allowed to pass him.
Okay.
But Daniel was not allowed to pass Nico back. So Daniel has a 3-place grid penalty for Miami.
What?
Yeah. 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 I know. It's when it rains, it pours.
But what?
I know.
Couldn't he just like, if he's taking his place back, isn't that just racing? Like, I'm not trying to be an idiot here. No, I just don't understand.
He took it over during the second safety car. He overtook Nico under the safety car.
No, this is all stupid.
Right. And it's unfortunate because technically Nico was allowed to pass Daniel in that situation because of the obvious problem that Daniel had. But then... it's just, I mean, what I infer this to be is just sort of a, like, they didn't obviously know all the rules.
Yeah.
Like, he thought what he was doing was the right thing to do.
Well, it seemed like Hulk also thought it was the right thing to do, maybe.
So anyway, so he has a,
ew.
I know, and what's unfortunate is that if we had known this, I don't know if they would have given the penalty when the race was going, but if Daniel had just kept going and had been told the penalty during the race,
he would have just
served the 10-second, because it would have been a 10-second time penalty probably.
Yeah.
He could have served that in the race.
Yeah.
And then DNF'd. Ugh. But because he DNF'd,
classic stewards, wait until the end.
He has to do it at the end. So it's just really unfortunate for him. Now, some people do think because the next race in Miami is a sprint race.
Oh, it might affect the sprint?
It might just affect the sprint, which
would be nice.
Good, because obviously the likelihood of him getting points is already going to be low. So let's hope for his sake. Because that really, that was hard. That's very harsh in my opinion, I think. And for like Lance, again, he gets no additional, I mean, he did get like a penalty point or whatever, but it's just
harsh. The other thing that's always really difficult for me to like try and defend Lance a lot is like, this is, it adds to the storyline that he is entitled.
This is what I wanted to get into.
I'm so glad. And it's really frustrating because he's not a bad driver. There's a lot of moments where he does a lot of good things.
Yes.
But something like this happens and you just come off like a brat.
Yes.
Who never can do no wrong. And it doesn't matter. If I was watching this show the other day, sorry, I always bring up the TV shows I'm watching, but it's like it's Law and Order. So everyone knows what that is. But this guy, they're like trying to arrest him because he's an absolute horrible monster.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's an informant for the FBI. So he's untouchable. I'm not saying it's apples to apples here, but it's very frustrating.
It is frustrating.
That he can get away with a lot of stuff. I mean, yes, I know he got a penalty and all of that, but it's the behavior.
It's also the fact that none of these issues or these things really affect his future in Formula One because his father owns the team.
Yeah.
And I completely agree. Listen, I've always said this. I think we all can agree in terms of like pay drivers, whatever. Mm-hmm. Lance is not the worst one.
And
part of that is the fact he's been in Formula One for quite a long time. Experience. He
Lucky
has
him.
Terrible racecraft. The amount of times that he has caused incidents, problems, mm-hmm. running into people, penalties, because he just has he just doesn't have good awareness.
Yeah.
And that is a consistent problem with Lance. I mean, remember Coda 2020, 2002 when he sent Fernando literally airborne.
That was crazy. Yeah.
Like he just, that is a weak part of Lance's,
but
driving
technical feedback. So
technical feedback. And to your point, it's just really frustrating that there are, and you could even point, we said this before, Daniel's I think is a good driver and he has had lots of, he has earned his right to be on the grid based off of his driving, mm-hmm. I think. But he's also there because he's popular
sunshine,
and
yeah.
all that stuff. That plays into the why he's there. I'm not going to sit here and ignore that. But we said this before too. Lance would not be on the grid right now if his dad did not own a team. He mm-hmm. just wouldn't be there. That's, and I don't think anyone can dispute that.
Yeah.
I don't. And that's what's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's what irritates me.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose probably some people this year from the grid who
could
deserve a C,
yeah.
deserve that C. And it's just, and I saw someone on Twitter say this, like Aston Martin will never be a serious Formula One team mm-hmm. if they choose to have Lance Stroll as their driver. They just won't. They will be a decent midfield team if they have, and that's not to say they can't have a great car, mm-hmm. but as a team as a whole, if they want to challenge for constructors and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to be serious until you get rid of Lance. They're a team, they could get Carlos, they could have Fernando Alonso and Carlos Sainz mm-hmm. as their drivers. Or Fernando and Yuki. I've always said this.
Yeah.
Or Fernando and, I mean, really, like, a good chunk of the drivers would want to be in that seat. Because it's a good car.
Yeah.
He's consistently outperformed by his teammate. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lance gets out in Q2 again. Fernando qualifies P2, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I've like reached my
limit
of being okay with this. Mm-hmm. I just have.
Yeah.
And I know there's people that probably listen to the show who are fans of Lance, and that's totally fine. Obviously, like our friend Emma from Track Talk is a Lance fan. I have no problem with people being a Lance fan. It's
frustrating.
It's really frustrating for me. And yeah, I could have forgiven him if he had just taken ownership of the situation mm-hmm. and
but it's his, like, he's so passionate about not taking accountability.
Yes.
it's icky.
Yes and just pay attention to the car in front of you. Mm-hmm. Just do that. And I did wonder though, so Scotty is gonna have to be doing some
I was gonna ask you this overtime. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, he's not involved, but sometimes I do, like today I was like, what is Scotty, like, how does that work?
Yeah.
What is that conversation like? And like Chloe even, like, does Chloe understand? I'm sure she does, but like, whose side is she taking in that? Because as an older sister myself, I would be like, you are wrong.
Oh yeah.
You're dumb. I love you, but you're dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's not difficult to.
But yeah, it's just such an interesting dynamic for Scotty to have a best friend and a brother-in-law who are currently feuding.
Well, and also like the brother-in-law thing is always interesting because
there's
no guarantee you're gonna jive with your brother-in-law, so there's a good chance. I mean, we don't know Scotty's relationship with Lance, and it seems like he likes him,
yeah,
you know, obviously, but I think he's on Daniel's side.
Oh, well, in this particular situation, I think most people with brains and eyes are on Daniel's side. I do want to say, like, I don't have confirmation that when at the time of Lance's commentary he actually saw the replay. I don't know.
Yeah, we've seen him in the biggest issue is that just in the post-race press conference and stuff, he just doesn't take responsibility for the problem. He's saying,
yeah, I get,
I didn't
that
deserve a penalty.
No, and I totally get that, but also I think it's kind of like the Lewis thing that you mentioned earlier, like if he hasn't seen the full picture and he's still only talking about his perception,
he
has
that
seen
point.
It okay,
yes.
That's all I wanted to clarify
point. Yes,
so then yeah,
yes.
Two thumbs down for you today, sir.
There's an article I just saw and the headline is, sorry Lance Stroll, but is it really that difficult to apologize for driving into Daniel Ricciardo? The most simple of tasks, paying attention to the car in front of him, was not something Stroll had been doing.
Like, he shouldn't be on any road in a car as the driver if you can't pay attention to the car in front of you.
It's frustrating, not to keep belaboring the point and going on and on and on, but this is what we have a podcast for. Daniel was having a really good weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really having a good weekend.
I know. I was ready to see a smile again.
He was out. He had outqualified Yuki in both qualifyings. I was trying to think of a different word. He, you know, did decently well in the sprint, given the fact that I think he finished 11th, which was pretty good. He was on track. He had good pace, seemed like he was doing well, all that stuff. Like, had made a real significant jump forward, and he just continues to not be able to, like, I feel like this happens. We talk about Brazil last year,
yeah,
when he had the when he was a lap down, but he was fast. It's like whenever he has pace, something,
it's this, but then this happens.
Yes.
Yeah, he can't get away from
it's
that.
It's never like,
and Crofty said it best, if he wasn't having bad luck, he would have no luck at all right now.
What do we have to do?
I don't know. If anyone has advice, like, is there a dance? Is there a ritual?
Fuck. It's rough.
I don't know. It is. It's rough.
Anyway, so that was that on that. Fernando almost losing it at the very end there when his car hit the gravel. That was crazy.
Stressful.
But also good on him for
maintaining. And Nico did keep referring to his age.
Yeah.
Like, for 43 or whatever. Like, that's really good that he, what do they say? Reaction like a teenager, I think is what Crofty said. It's like, yeah. I mean, he's a professional race car driver.
Yeah, so. He's got that on lock. Uh-huh. And then I was obviously very happy for Lando.
Yep.
His woot woot.
Yeah. His dad's so precious.
He is cute.
So proud.
And then, you know, very happy for Joe. He did not do so well in the race.
No, but I love that they gave him his own parking spot at the end.
People were kind of clowning him for, like, being emotional about P14. He wasn't emotional about P14. He was just overcome. Like, he has never raced in China.
Yeah.
He's the first Chinese driver on the grid. He was overwhelmed by the
emotion of... He had 60,000 people cheering for him in his hometown.
Yes. So,
guys, be for real.
Yeah. So I was happy. I mean, obviously, I think his highlight was getting into Q3 in the sprint quali.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice. I think he came in ninth in this. Oh, he had a good sprint too. I think he came in ninth in the sprint.
He did.
So he was one
right
away from
there,
points.
Yeah, which
would have been
a bummer
for him. But so that was impressive. The race was obviously not as good for him, but.
But he finished it.
He finished it.
And it was just nice.
I don't know if he's going to be on the grid next year. I kind of think it's not so likely. And at least as of right now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he at least, no matter what happens, he at least got to race in China.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he has hit the peak of what he wanted to accomplish. If nothing else, like, you know, he got to live out a dream.
Yes.
And I think that that's amazing.
Exactly. Wanted to go over our drafts really fast, just like the points.
Yeah. Can
and
we
stuff?
Talk about the trophies really quick?
Oh,
though?
Yes, of course.
Those
yes.
were very cool.
They were
but
cool.
Also, at one point, I think Lando was really just like looking at it.
Oh, he was like
it.
Analyzing every
but
corner.
But I was kind of laughing. I was like, is he trying to figure out how he can break this one?
Okay. That's literally what my parents and I were talking about.
Really?
Like, I was like, what are the odds he's going to break this
one? I know.
Break
he's
this
like,
one.
How can I break this one? Anyway,
so
I just
funny.
Thought those were really cool.
I completely agree. Completely agree.
Okay. Yeah. Let's
so
talk about our drafts.
The draft. So Hannah had Fernando and I had Checo. So we established, we didn't talk about this on air, but Hannah and I established because we hadn't had a sprint weekend yet. So mm-hmm. we hadn't established the points that we were going to be, that we would give out for a sprint weekend. So with a sprint, obviously, if you finish P1, you get 8 points. If you finish eighth, you get 1 point. So we're going to apply those mm-hmm. to any other sprint going forward. And then for qualifying, because we still want to reward points for quali. So we're going to do half points. So if you get P1, if you get pole in the sprint quali, you get 4 points down to P8, which you get half a point. That might be confusing, but
it's
that's
fine.
What we're going to do going forward. So for me with Checo, so I got 1.5 points from the sprint quali. You got 3 points from the sprint quali.
I'll take it.
For Fernando, Checo got 6 points in the sprint. Unfortunately, Fernando DNF'd in the sprint.
He
no,
sure did.
No points there. And then Checo came in P3 in the race, so he got 12 points. Fernando came in, I believe, seventh, but he got fastest lap.
Ooh.
So he got 7 points from that race. So in total, I got 19.5 points this weekend, and Hannah got 10 points this weekend.
Well,
So let me just see what we're at right now. Numbers wise, can you do fast math?
No, but I can get the calculator.
Well,
out.
I think you can. These are pretty like whole.
Okay.
Numbers. Okay. So in Bahrain, you had George, you got 20 points.
Okay.
Lewis in Saudi, you had 5.
Okay.
Max in Australia, you got 10.
Okay.
Nothing for Daniel in Japan, and then 10 Fernando.
45 points.
45. Okay. Now, can you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So Nico 1 for Bahrain.
Okay.
Yuki 2, Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Charles 25, Australia.
Okay.
Nothing for Valtteri last week, and then 19 and a half.
Okay, so 28 plus 19 and a half.
28 plus 19 and a half. That's 47 and a half. So we're
that was so dumb. I don't know why the half really threw me off.
Yeah. We are very close.
Yeah.
All right, should we draw for
Yeah.
Now we're going to be at this race.
Yeah, we are.
So
with Travis and Taylor.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm just getting
I know.
Alex.
Woo!
Alex Albon. Okay.
Yay.
You pick?
Oh, I don't want that one. Okay. I don't know what it was, but
come she's on. Analyzing.
Charles.
Don't
let me down, bud.
Yeah, let's hope your streak, because you are,
I know,
they are DNFing at least once a once a race. All right, Alex, need you to get points.
Oh my God, they are DNFing once a race.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, it is another sprint weekend.
It is another sprint weekend. Yeah. Which bodes well for you, not so well for me, because you have multiple situations to get points.
Mm.
And I
don't.
Yeah, it's not going to be likely for me, but
it's okay. Could surprise us all.
Fan and foe. Oh, yeah. Would you like to share your fan before we get into some of the questions? This
yeah.
is a long episode. I appreciate everybody bearing with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out. Yeah, so my fan is, I don't know if people saw on Instagram, but there is an IndyCar race in Long Beach this weekend, and one of the supporting series, it is at the IndyCar race,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
Is the Stadium Super Trucks, mm-hmm. and our friend Zoe who's Zoe Racing on Instagram, we were able to participate in sponsoring her car, which was really cool. And it was cool to see our logo on the car
Very
and
cool.
all the other, like some of our other F1 friends that got to support her. I don't know. It's just a cool thing to do. I was excited that she kind of crowdsourced that sponsorship, and also just seeing the videos coming out from her of like all the little girls who are like sitting in her truck. And I don't know. But also, if you've never even seen like video
it's
of that
so
series,
cool.
it's wild.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I could never be me.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's awesome.
Absolutely not. But it is really cool. And I love that her car is pink, and mm-hmm. I don't know. She's just an awesome person, but that's a cool thing to be a part of.
Very, very cool. My fan, as Hannah
spoiled
earlier, is Alex Albon's panda helmet, which
Incredible.
I just loved so much. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so funny and cute, and that he like did a photo shoot with pandas. Like,
oh, I need to
at
see
the
that.
Zoo, but they went to the, I think like a zoo or something, and took some pictures, and
it's just funny, like because it's a helmet, like
yeah.
how far apart the facial features of
yes.
the panda were.
Yes, very,
but it was
very,
very
funny.
Cute.
It just made me.
It just feels very
chuckle.
Alex.
Totally, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, your foe,
Lance.
Okay, mine's Lance too. I'm just.
It was just too much today.
It was 100%. It was just too much. I'm like Daniel. I like need to calm down.
Yeah,
I need to calm down.
Mm-hmm. It was just disappointing.
I would love to see what he did. Specific, like more so Daniel after did he was something thrown do you think he threw something
Lance or Daniel
yeah
is that his empty water bottle in his like green room or you know his
driver room his
yeah
room.
That's what I mean
yeah something was definitely done in mm-hmm. in his driver room.
I hope he didn't punch the wall because that wouldn't bode well for his
protect your hand sir mm-hmm. Or maybe he I don't know I'm trying to think of like what snap something
yeah
you know
he also seems like the kind of person who just kind of squats and like
screams
runs his fingers through his hair just like pulls.
What hair he has
yeah.
left
yeah
screams into the pillow
yeah
I mean it is two DNFs in a row is mm-hmm. really rough it's really rough
uh-huh
I don't really have anything else
and
to say
so,
about it
like when it's inflicted by another person too, it's just so frustrating. Like it's annoying on its own if it's a mechanical thing or whatever, but when someone's being an idiot, genuinely.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's really frustrating. It's
okay. Let's get to some of the questions that you guys sent in. Why do you think Lando had a better race and Oscar before Oscar's damage. People have been talking about how Oscar has like struggled with tire management. That's his weak spot in terms of a race, that he just, he doesn't manage his tires quite as well as other drivers have. And I think that's just something that comes with time and getting experience in Formula One. And I think it's difficult to, even was it Yuki a few races ago when he talked about how he wasn't going to be able to do the strategy Daniel was going to do because he didn't manage his tires as well. I just think as you progress, as you get more and more years, you just learn how to handle your tires a little bit better. And I think that's a big part of it. Because in qualifying, he's pretty much right there on pace. If not, I mean, he might be a 10th off or something like that, but he's right there. It's not like he's, oh my gosh, why is Oscar out in Q2 and Lando's getting to Q1?
Totally.
So I think it's ultimately that.
I'll take your word for it.
Is Lance deliberately trying to force his dad's hand to fire him?
No, because he won't. This has been a question that I have had since I became a fan. Does Lance want to be there?
I do think he wants to be there.
We talked about it after his injury last season. Like, I would have never expected him to put in that amount of work, like, as quickly as he did. Like, that was the moment that I was like, oh, okay, maybe he really does want to be here.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, he doesn't do himself a lot of favors. Right. And so it's very confusing. But I think at least the perception we all have is that as long as Lance still wants to drive, he has a seat.
Right.
And I guess then the answer is, yeah, he still wants to drive.
Someone said, do you blame Lance for the crash? And if so, what do you think he could have done?
Yes, he could have braked.
Could have kept his eyes on the car in front of
him. Sorry, I wasn't yelling at you. That sounded really aggressive. But yeah, I mean, it's like, if there is a fender bender and someone in front of you was braking and you didn't brake and you crashed, it's your fault.
Right.
That's how that works.
Right. And I think the whole thing was that it did start, the reason everyone kind of had to quickly get on the brakes was because it was either Fernando or someone ahead something happened. They broke too soon or something. It caused a domino
effect.
So everybody had to react, but everybody
was looking at the car in front of them,
Oscar
instead of
said,
off
everyone
to the side.
Reacted accordingly. So
I love that he said that on the internet.
No, well, no, he didn't say he said it like in an interview, but I mean, it went on the internet. Oh yeah. Okay. So thoughts on the potential new points system they are potentially going to introduce, I guess, as early as next year, points for up to P12. I still think they could go more.
I agree. And Crofty was talking about this too. Like, why are we stopping? Like, why are we only going up two more people? I think like today, even at, you know, given all of Lance's foibles, like there was a moment between him and Kevin that there was like a really good battle going on. And it's like, you know, we're watching it and it's interesting to watch and it's exciting to watch, but they're technically battling for nothing. And it's like, there are those moments where there is exciting things happening at the back of the grid and they're really just there racing, but they're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's disappointing. So I think I'm glad that the conversation's happening and like moving in a positive direction of giving points to more people. But I just don't understand what the hesitation is to have it for everybody, like every person, unless you DNF.
The idea like that points, that because I think people feel like, oh, points are so valuable. And if you get a point, it's like, oh, it's so exciting. And I get that to an extent, but also we should be also acknowledging every position matters. And that, you know, going from 14th to 13th, like that will make a difference to your result, you know? And we also are in an era, we said this 1,000 times, I feel like, but we're in an era where the cars are so reliable. Like you're typically on, maybe you get 3 cars DNFing, but typically it's like 2-1, a lot of races, no cars DNF. So it's not like we're back in the olden days where like you'd have 6 or 7 cars retire. So then, you know, that
the 10 points is ever, the opportunity for points becomes easier.
Right.
More attainable.
But I just think, I don't know. It's like the one hill that I die on.
Well, and the other thing too, like I always don't like the fact that the person who gets fastest lap only gets the point if they're in the top 10.
Right.
Because there's been times where the fastest lap went to someone who wasn't in the top 10. So they should be rewarded for that. Even if it is just the 1 point, like
right.
But if you're going to say, well, the person who gets fastest lap has to have points before.
I think the reason is because they would worry that, because if you're in 13th and you don't give a, who cares if you're 12th or 13th, you would, everyone in that back half would just start to pit consistently just because they want to get fastest lap. Whereas if you're in the top 10, if you're only 5 seconds ahead of the driver behind mm-hmm. you're not going to just say, well, let's just fuck it and pit because I'm going to try to get fastest lap, you know? But if you give points to every position, then you add stakes to every position and therefore every position should be able to get fastest lap. Mm-hmm. So I think it all kind of like comes together. Someone said, I really feel like 2018 Red Bull Daniel is coming back because of how pissed he is. Do you guys agree? I did like seeing...
I'm not familiar with 2018 Daniel, really.
Like angry. Like he had like a fire about him.
Sure.
That was that whole thing with Baku.
Oh, sure.
I do have to say, I really appreciate the fact that Daniel is pissed off.
Yeah,
it
me
shows
too.
That he
he's still in it and he cares.
And he's,
yeah.
Like passionate about it and he has strong feelings about it. And I feel like we've seen him in past instances be sort of defeated mm-hmm. in those moments. And I like that he was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And so, yeah, I certainly hope it propels him and keeps him going and like motivates him to
me too
keep it
so
keep
if
it
that's
up.
What's happening I'm here for it
a lot of people annoyed with Lance so many people just
I'm not surprised
and I think it's just like salt in the wound kind of it's
totally
just sort of like oh my gosh, so many people upset with.
I hope you guys have enjoyed our
a lot
commentary.
Of people happy with Joe, like, happy
yeah,
that
it was
he had
nice.
A chance and blah, blah, blah. Okay.
And I basically will say, too, I was very appreciative throughout the entire broadcast. And I know it kind of goes without saying, like, it would be really bad for them to not highlight Joe throughout the weekend because it is his home race. But I felt like I thought they did a really nice job highlighting him. And it was really nice to see. It was sweet.
So now we're on to Miami.
Yeah.
We will be in Miami.
Yeah,
so if you are also going to be in Miami, I hope we get to see you. I think next week for our episode, like that will go into the week of the race, we could maybe do some GP kind of do's or don'ts mm-hmm. or like kind of go into
totally.
What to do during a race weekend if it's your first race.
Yeah.
Logan's home race.
Yeah.
I do think so. I was thinking about this. We did change in China, right?
Yeah.
I think we should each, as we go forward throughout the rest of the calendar, we should each choose a word that starts with the
alliterative word.
Yes.
Is that a, I don't know. If
alliteration.
Yeah.
So we obviously have Miami, so an M. So can mm-hmm. you think of a word?
Moves in Miami?
Okay. I can go first because I have a word.
Oh, so you have a word.
I'm going for miracles in Miami.
Ooh.
I am hoping for some miracles this weekend. Whether that is a driver winning the race that hasn't won in a long time mm-hmm. or hasn't won at all, a surprise driver on the podium, a driver getting points that typically doesn't get points. I think we all can agree, even though we had the Carlos win, which was great, and we all, I think, collectively needed that as a, you know, but I don't think it was, once Max was out, it was like, okay, yeah, Carlos is, he's in the position to win. I don't think it was
ooh, who shocking. Who's it going to be? Yeah.
I think we were all in need of a little bit of like a feel good something.
Yeah.
A la Pierre Gasly winning in Monza. I'm not saying we're going to get that necessarily, but something where it's like, oh my God, can you believe that this person won? Or can you believe that this person got on the mm-hmm. podium? Or this person finished P5? Like, that's so great. We need a little, I mean, aside from potentially Max fans or other people who are happy with the way that the season's going, we need something to kind of buoy us.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go sort of in the same vein, but McLaren in Miami.
Okay.
For sprint or race. Like maybe we get
something.
Both of them up there.
Yeah.
Would love to see a Lando win sometime this year.
Yes.
And if it's in Miami,
be great.
All the better.
Yeah.
I do also just want to ask our friends out there, if you're going to Miami and you do happen to run into Travis Kelce, drop our name. Just let them know about the podcast. Let them know that we live in Kansas City. Maybe show it on your phone. No pressure.
Yeah.
But
we love it. If if you did. If you see anyone, Otmar.
Totally. I would love to run into Otmar.
Any of the drivers.
I'm so desperate to take a selfie with Otmar.
Gunther. Like, I mean, lots of people that we would appreciate.
Certainly.
Knowing who we are.
Certainly.
So, yeah, this has been a long episode.
It has, but
please,
it's been a joy.
Stay tuned tomorrow for our China pyramid ranking, because we are going to go full Dance Moms. We have a whiteboard. We're going to be ripping off names and or papers and revealing everything. So, you know, it's going to be a lot more more interactive and more fun than it
than
has
us
been
just
in the past.
Vanna Whiting at
exactly.
nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. So. But thank you all for listening. We so appreciate all of you. And, you know, again, I know we kind of have been all over the place and sort of on edge, I would say, this episode.
We have.
At least I have been. But I do sincerely.
But it sounds like the people are also on edge. So
yeah, we can all collectively be on edge together, and just hope for better. The sun will shine on us once again
tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you next week
on Shantae.